face the way, the fear to drown, emerging oceans. At mercy of the raging storm, I'm holding on to emerging oceans. To creep in dark, no turning back, emerging oceans. I reach my goal where I began, within the flow of emerging oceans. Emerging oceans. To drown emerging oceans. At mercy of the raging storm, I'm holding on to emerging oceans. Horizon lost to creep in dark. No turning back, emerging oceans. I reach my goal where I began,
Good evening and welcome to Dark Simulation on BCB 106.6 FM. This is your fortnightly dose of goth, industrial, electronic, alternative and other things I kind of pretend fit into all those genres that I'm kind of listening to at the time. And this show is brought to you by myself, Nigel, tonight, in the studio on my own. And I started there with Rotterdam Merging Oceans, one of the earliest releases from the Merging Oceans EP. And it's just great. It still sounds fresh. And I've got to say, a lot of this show is going to be filled with me saying how good Infest was this year. It's my first show back after Infest, the large electronic music festival here in Bradford that took place a weekend or two ago. And it was a lot of fun. I got myself down there. I've managed to bag a handful of interviews, one of which I'll be playing tonight. I managed to grab a couple of promos. I managed to just have a great time. A lot of the bands were just fantastic. And I want to start this show with saying something I've actually mentioned online already, but I want to say it out loud, which is, you know, a big thank you to everyone involved in making Infest happen. I know there's the organisers. I know there's a lot of volunteers. I know there's the bands themselves. There's a lot of the crew. There's the people at Bradford Uni. It takes a massive group of people to actually make it all work seamlessly, and it did work seamlessly. It worked brilliant. It was a new venue. There were going to be teething troubles, but nothing spoiled the show. It was all good. But yes, Rotterdam played. They headlined the Saturday night, and due to a slight timing change due to a band being ill, they got an hour and a half on stage instead of an hour, and they rocked for, I think, nearly an hour and 45 minutes. It was just a great set to actually see. So it's great to see that they're still continuing to put on brilliant shows. And I'm going to continue now. I'm going to, like, play interviews and stuff later on in the show. I'm going to play, you know, I'm going to run down gigs, club nights, stuff like that. All the usual information in the show, but with that added interview that I promised. But I'm going to continue with a track by How to Destroy Angels from their EP. The How to Destroy Angels CD, the only one that's been released so far. And I'll mention a bit of news after the track. That was The Birthday Massacre with Looking Glass from Walking with Strangers. And before that, we had How to Destroy Angels with Parasite from the How to Destroy Angels EP, I guess it is. It's a five-track release that I've released. And what I'm going to tell you, basically, the news about How to Destroy Angels is, even though there was a plan to get some material out there, what has unfortunately happened, is there's going to be a delay on the new stuff. The project is on hold for a little while because Trent Reznor's wife, Marie-Queen Mandeek, is pregnant. So they've put the project on hold whilst she has a baby. So I'm guessing no more How to Destroy Angel stuff for about a year. And we'll have to see how it goes from then. That's completely up to them. But yes, a slight delay in hearing new stuff from Trent Reznor and his wife. And The Birthday Massacre have slightly more impending news, is that they're setting off on tour, and their new album, Pins and Needles, is due to be released here in the UK on September the 14th. So hopefully by the next time I'm on air, I'll have a copy of that in my hands and be able to play you some stuff. I'm really looking forward to hearing that. The rumours are it's all going to be quite good. Now, I think I'm not going to mess around here. This is an interview I got the other weekend at Infest. And basically, I try and cut these down usually, edit them down a little, so they're only like 5-6 minutes long, so they don't drag on too much. But this one was pretty interesting. Lots of great questions and answers. So this is it in its entirety. It's slightly over 10 minutes long, so here goes. This is Nigel from Dark Assimilation Radio and Jane from The Misogyny Show, backstage at Infest 2010, and we're here with Jennifer from ARIA. Good evening.
Hi. Hello, Infest. Hello, UK.
Did you enjoy your show?
I really did. I have to admit, you know, I came here a little bit jet-lagged, a little bit sleep-deprived, because we've only had 3 hours. We played a little surprise gig last night in London at Limelight, and we're really excited to be here, but, you know, I show up, I'm kind of, oh, really tired, but then the audience, the reaction was just so great that
we'd never have talked. Yeah. Known you were tired. Yeah. You were so energetic on stage.
I have that reputation, so the goth aerobics queen. No, but I have the reputation of being energetic, but it really comes from the crowd. Like, they were fueling me. If I see them getting into it, I get more excited. So yeah, and end up running all over the stage.
Are there any bands in particular that influence the music that you're making?
It changes from album to album, because sometimes you kind of, you don't even realize you're using your influences, and sometimes you'll hear a new sound that kind of shapes your new stuff. Like when I started and got into this, really into the EBM, really into stuff like the Ambienation and, you know, the type of lyrics and the big epic synth lines really inspired me when I was starting out. And then later it morphed into, I have to say, and I'm really influenced by 80s. I always have been. I love, you know, I wanted to be the person that kind of takes some of the cheese out of the 80s, maybe make more powerful lyrics, but still have those hooky type of, like,
Human League?
Awesome. Have the kind of, have those kind of hooky choruses, like regular 80s pop song structures, but put into more electronic, industrial, sometimes make it stompy. And right now, I'm on big electro kicks, like stuff like The Presets and The Whip, and, you know, anything you can really dance to with a dirty synth that just, like, blows your mind.
And dirty electro.
Dirty electro. Is that a genre?
Okay.
See, I really am not, I'm really behind with genre names and everything. I just hear something and I'm like, I don't know what genre it is. It doesn't matter. I know. So yeah, I guess anything from 80s, industrial EBM, bands like Nitzareth, people that paved the way in industrial, people that paved the way in pop like Madonna, and yeah, stuff like that.
Is there anything you're actually listening to at the moment a lot? Is like an album you bought recently or got recently that's big on your playlist?
It's really hard when I'm creating my new stuff. I tend to shut out what, like,
yeah,
all the influences that are behind the album are there. And then I create my album, and I actually don't listen to a whole lot while I create, except my own stuff, listening to it over and over. So right now, not a lot, except the same thing. Like I just saw The Presets last year, and they just blew my mind, and that kind of sound right now. It's hard, though, because I would say ARIA albums it's not like, oh, this is a typical Aries song, because sometimes I get in the mood where, well, I want distorted vocals and I want to stomp. Other times, no, I just want pretty melodies, or I want to write, like, you know, a kind of dark love song, and I don't want to write the same song 12 times on an album. Yeah. I want the diversity. I want to sing, but I want to, yeah. So I would say, yeah, I'm really listening to my own stuff now. I'm about 10 demos into the new album. Cool. And, yeah.
How's that going? And are there any more projects you've got in the pipeline?
Not other projects, really. Just Aria right now. Yeah. Focusing just on the 4 CD. And the reception to the Hearts for Bullets was so strong and so good, and which, like, and that means so much to me, because that was my baby. That was me taking everything I had learned in the past two albums and focusing it and tightening it. So now it's kind of, I'm working with the same producer on this next one, which is Seb Comer. So it's like, okay, how can we push it further, but still, like, represent what I want to and what I've always kind of been about. So yeah, but yeah, it's going well. It's going kind of slow, but I can't help it. You can't force creativity.
You also have been touring a lot recently.
Oh God, yeah, that's kind of it too. I was in opportunities with things, bands like VMU Nation, which he was very positive with us. Like, he really, Ronan from VMU Nation liked our stuff and went, you're like Industrial Madonna, or, like, you know, like, really grasping it, going, this is great, you know, like, something different. I thought that, you know, it's such a compliment coming from him. And Crew Shadows, we tour with them a lot, and we did the UK and Europe last fall. And then I got to go out with Project Pitchfork. Like, it's a small scene, but, you know, bands that you don't think may have heard of you, like, request you to go on tour. So I couldn't have asked for better touring partners, and this exposure has been great. And if you're going to ask me when am I going to headline my own, which a lot of people do, I'm open to it, but it is it's a scary thing, you know, financially. Once you're a headliner, like, you know, yeah, you are responsible for the draw. But now seeing a crowd like this, I'm like, I could probably pull it off in the UK. So, I would love to come back.
The three albums that you've released so far, very different influences per album, I'd say. Is that something that you would say is quite common in your music, you know, that you've drawn on kind of different influences per album, and they've all kind of shaped the overall sound?
Yeah, it's, when I started Aria, I was a lot younger and not really sure where I wanted to go with things, and I had always worked with other people, so Debris, the concept behind that was, I couldn't program my own stuff yet, but I'm a singer, like, at heart, that's what I love to do. So I worked with producers on that, and collaborators, and then it became mainly with Sean F. from the band Gliss at the time, but a bunch of other people too. And it was just them writing music, and then I would find melodies within it and structure songs. Except the one song we always played, Disease, that was written by me on a guitar when I was 18 years old, and Sean helped me transition that into an electro song.
Yeah.
And then Flicker, I decided, you know, I do have ideas. I want to write my own stuff. So a friend of mine I was working with, Joe Beyer from the band Void, who was my live keyboardist on a lot of tours, he taught me how to use Reason and Cubase, and I started learning and writing my own stuff, and he was helping me produce. So that Flicker was my first, like, experimental, I'm going to write these 5 or 7 minute long songs, and, like, epic songs, but really get out what I'm trying to write. And then by Hearts for Bullets, I knew what worked live. I knew what I liked. I took what I learned, and I knew that, like, to fit in a lot of songs live, like, bring it back down to pop lengths of, like, 3.5 minutes, and then, you know, you can do more stuff with it. You don't have to fit in every idea you've ever had in one song, right? What I was tending to do on Flickr. But, and then I just refined it, and I think that because of that, it's a very tight album. Like, it's just, you know, it's really straightforward, the simple electro that I kind of like,
yeah,
and produced by someone that really brought it to life with good, solid kicks and synths. releases. I don't know what the next one, you know, I'm actually doing a lot of work with more harmonies, like vocal layering. Like, my demos are like these layers of three vocals going on at one time. I'm like, well, that's what I love to play with the most, so we'll see how it turns out.
You seem to have put a lot of effort into connecting with your fans through the internet, a lot of blog updates, things like that. Do you think that's something that's helping you with your popularity, being for your fans to be able to follow you and follow you on tour? I think this last tour you did a lot of blogging and photos.
Yeah, wow, okay. Because I always thought I wasn't doing enough, because I have a problem with the difference of a personal life and like...
Your
some bands don't. Yeah, some bands don't, and they want to like tell you what they had for breakfast, and that's totally fine. But I have like a shyness to me still that you might not notice it, but I am quite introverted, and I don't always want to tell everyone everything about my life. But I do love connecting with fans, and when I'm at shows and when I'm out in this world, this is my favorite part, is hanging out, meeting people, and this is why I'm here, is because people like my music enough to want to say hi, I like your music.
I think Infest as well is really well known for that, because the bands do
hang out
at the bar.
I know.
And people can go up and go, oh, I loved your set.
Well, I'm about to, like, for Pitchfork, I want to be out there and like cheering them on. Just you know, I feel like it's such a small world, and you know, you're here to meet the people that are supporting you. We're not people like a Lady Gaga level she's a bad example because she's very active online. We're not at like these superstar levels where we're distancing our fans. We all have we all have other jobs. We all do other things. This is just one outlet, and if someone likes it, you should want to talk to those people. So I do like updating online. I find like people find it fun if I'm like, I'm in Texas or whatever, right? But the last tour was great because Project Pitchfork, they did video blogs, but we both posted it, and so we both bands would be really represented, and it was a really straightforward, like, this is touring. We're sitting in a van. We're at a gas station, right? Like, it's not glamorous.
No.
We do this because we love music, we love performing, and we love getting out there and meeting fans. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, internet is such a powerful medium. The internet's both our demise and our success, because I was thinking about this the other day, but sorry to go on and on.
No,
but every band in our genre that is super huge is still the same super huge band before the big downloading revolution. Like bands like every EBM band that, you know, before about the year 2000, 2001, I would say, they're still the biggest ones, and they're still the ones that can live off of this. And no matter how hard bands like us try, we can't fight the downloading. We can't fight. We've got to get out there tour. We've got to connect with the fans, and, you know. So, you know, internet's both I've always said this, it's a curse and a blessing. I could never exist without it to spread it, but also, you know, a lot of people get your music for free because of it. So,
collaborations. Hmm. You appear to have done quite a lot recently, or over the last couple of years. I've noticed various albums with vocals from Jennifer on it, just hidden on a track somewhere. So, do you think you've done a lot of that? Because for some reason, maybe I've noticed all the ones you've done, so it seems like a lot to me.
Maybe.
It seems like Void, you did.
Void. Well, he was my, that's my keyboardist from Flickr.
Left Side Neighbor.
Tours. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they're great. They're Canadian. They're a Montreal band. And I have to admit, and be honest, I do get requests a lot for people that want me to sing on their stuff, and I've actually, I charge it. I charge people. I make a bit of a living for that, so I'm not personally friends with some of these bands, but some bands appreciate my vocals enough to want to say, I used to do everything for free, and now I feel like I've reached a level that the voice is in demand, so if a band wants it, they're actually willing to pay for it, and sounds very capitalist of me, doesn't it? Whatever.
Now you've got to pay the rent.
Exactly. That's what it came down to. I lost my job last October. it was the choice between going on the V&V Nation tour in Europe and the and Crescendo's following it. So that would have been my October, November, December. And my regular job said, we can't let you go that long, so I gave my notice, and I have not worked since that. So I have to find another job soon. But I've tried to use this time off to work on the album and keep touring. So
brilliant.
Just to, I'm being honest with the fans and anyone that cares that, you know, this is how it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it was fun. We'll be right back.
are still listening to Dark Simulation on BCB 106.6 FM. And that was Aria with Disease off her first album, Debris. And before that, I played an interview with Aria. Oh, well, Jennifer Parkin from Aria, that myself and the Miss Ginny Show, Jane from the Miss Ginny Show, conducted a couple of weekends ago at Infest. So great stuff there. I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. And I think it's now time to run down the usual news. I'm going to keep it short this week because the show's probably going to drag on due to having that interview in the middle. So basically, just a couple of new information about releases. We've got, apparently, the Angel Spit have got, announced a new CD. It's a remix CD, and it's got 7 remix tracks off of their last album, but also 4 new tracks. So it's kind of almost a new album, mostly a remix album. And that's due on the 10th of October. So stuff to look forward from Angel Spit. Also, Grinderman have got Grinderman 2, the second album from the Nick Cave project, is going to be released on September the 13th, so that's next week-ish. Grinderman are also playing Leeds on September the 27th. I believe they're playing Leeds Uni. So loads of good stuff coming out then and happening. Gigs and club nights in the local area are basically, I think I mentioned these before on previous shows, but I'll run down quickly. On, not this weekend, but the next weekend, Saturday the 18th of September, we have the Wendy House at Leeds Uni Student Union, and that's got 2 rooms. It's got the main room of kind of goth, cheese, alternative, a bit of everything goes on in there, and the Mutate room, which is much more hard dance electronic stuff. That's £5 on the door and runs from 10 p.m. till 3 a.m, and more information can be found at www.thewendyhouse.org. Following that, on Sunday the 19th, we have the return of the Leeds Weekly Night, Black Sheep. This is running at Bar Santiago in Leeds. Runs from 10 p.m. till 11 p.m. Free entry, and you can find all the details on Facebook. If you search Facebook for the Sheepish Group, you'll find all the details on there. And it's going to have be pretty much the same format as previous incarnations. It's going to have guest DJs and things like that. So yay for having the weekly night back in Leeds. Following that, on Sunday the 26th of September, it's going to change format slightly, as it does usually at the start of every year, academic year, and it does a Goth Sock Black Sheep Showcase. So this is at the same venue, Santiago's in Leeds, and they're putting on a couple of bands, The Last Cry and Bashe. Again, runs from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Again, free entry. Again, the details are all there on Facebook. And it would be terrible to run down the week, the details of the Leeds Weekly Night without mentioning the more local Bradford Weekly Night, Bad Moon Rising, at the Zoo Bar here in Bradford. That runs every Thursday from 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. and is free entry. And more information on that can be found at gothupnorth.co.uk. So that's like the general stuff going on for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to continue with the tunes, and I think I've got some Psyavia lined up. We'll be right back. You heard there Man Maker with Get Your Ass to Mars from the brilliant album How to Enlist in a Robot Uprising, who were also absolutely storming at Infest, and hopefully I'll be able to air an interview with them on an upcoming show soon. Before that, we had a band called Surgyn, S-U-R-G-Y-N, with a track called In Hit the Nerve. That's a promo I got handed at Infest, so I know very little about them, but they sound pretty good and stompy, so they got played. And before that, we had Cyavia with Anger Management from the album Electric. And that's pretty much all I've got time for this show. Like I said, the show has been lengthened by having an interview in the middle, but that's all good stuff because it's a good interview. And I want to thank you for listening. Hopefully, I'll have more stuff like this in a couple of weeks' time. And basically, I'll try and get links up on my website, which is www.daxassimilation.org. If you want to send me information about gigs, club nights, events, things like that, drop me a line. Go to the BCB Radio website, www.bcbradio.co.uk. You'll be able to find Dax Assimilation on there and send me information about gigs and stuff and upcoming stuff in general. And I'm going to leave you tonight with a band that I really hope to see at some point in the future at Infest. Everything Goes Cold. This is a classic track from the only album so far. I was going to say the first album, but only so far. I sold your organs on the black market to finance the purchase of a used minivan. One of the best track names I've heard in a long time. It's not such a new track these days, but it's still well worth the play. So I hope you tune in a fortnight's time, and I'll see you later.
Thousands of desperate people in New York right now waiting for the phone to ring. A phone call that will tell them a donation of an organ has been made. Life can be saved.
Places I'm dying to go to, all the people you're dying will save.